Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wall. Today it is just me. And I'm going to get started. I have my notes out and we're going to go. First thing I want to say is you are allowed to be who you are. And I know that's like a kind of funny thing to start off with, but I mean it. It's probably the hardest thing to do because we are still terrified of actually being who we are and saying what we think. And because often we are punished as little kids when we say exactly what we feel or do what we want and not listen to our parents. And some of that's reasonable, right? Like when you're three and you don't listen to your parents and you draw on the wall or you eat cookies you're not supposed to eat, like you get punished. So you start thinking that your impulses are bad or wrong. So it's really tricky as a teenager or an adult to start kind of like unwinding those fears in a sense and starting to really do what feels right for you. And, you know, you really are allowed to be who you are, but I also understand how scary it is. And I'm still working through all of that. And on my Instagram yesterday, I posted my sleeve tattoo. I actually didn't post the entire thing. There's some of my upper forearm that's not in it, but I posted most of it. It's not finished, but a lot has been done and I love it. I went to Tattoo 46 in Dover, New Jersey, and my tattoo artist is Jim, and he's incredible, but so are Molly and Dan, who also work there. So they're amazing, and I posted the picture because they Jim first posted one on his Instagram, and I was like, you know what, I'm ready to like fully show it, like close up, whatever. And it was scary to kind of show the world the tattoo because in a way it's very dear to me, and it's mine and Jim's art in a sense. Obviously, he's the tattoo artist, but I definitely played a huge part in designing it. So it was kind of intense to share it. And I'm like, no, I'm allowed to be who I am. And the people who are feeling it will feel it. And the people who don't, you guys can, not you guys, because you, I don't know, I'd be listening to my podcast, but anyone who's not with you, they can unfollow you. Or if you're not on social media, like they can go in a different direction, but you have every right to be who you are. That, to me, is why we're here on Earth, is to bring down our truest soul song or vibration or frequency or whatever you'd want to call that down here in this dimension or this plane of existence. So keep fighting to be who you are. It is scary, though, not just for you. Most of us are swimming in this. And then another thing I want to talk about is a horrific tragedy that's in the news. There was a shooting at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the Tree of Life Synagogue, and a shooter came in and I believe shot and killed 11 people. There are more than that injured, and it's beyond horrific. Like, we've had these mass shootings now going on for years, and collectively we are trying to figure our way through this. Obviously, I don't think having Trump as president is necessarily helping anything. He's not exactly what would you say, a vision of love, hope, and trust in my eyes, maybe for some. But whether you like Trump or not, we have to go almost deeper than that too, because you know, mindless shootings have been going on, and it's once again linked to buildup of emotions that burst. And you can see it everywhere, you know, in our homes. You can see it in government. You can see it in racial stuff. You could see it like Palestine and the Israel conflict. And picket, protest, do everything you want to do. But other than that, you got to take it back to yourself and think about, what ways am I holding back my own emotion, my own pain, my creativity, my life force? And that kind of links back to you're allowed to be who you are. it's very hard to heal enough to be in touch with your actual full life force when you disconnected from tons of places around that. When you're a kid or a teenager or an adult, when we go through trauma, our bodies disconnect often from that emotional place or that memory. It blocks off and it's stored somewhere else in a way. And it can be really scary kind of alchemizing that so you can gain that place back. But, you know, we got to start expressing what we're going through and our pain, whether it's to friends, a therapist, a healer, through our art, our music. But, you know, there's that whole phrase, make art, not war. It's like, we have to talk about what we're going through to someone who wants to receive it. And my heart goes out to those, to the families of those that just lost their friends and family. And you know, I still do think that we can get through and heal a lot of this horror that we are all connected to. And these things, in my eyes, won't stop until we really shift the way we all navigate. And that's why things like, you know, my rapping isn't all quote unquote pretty lyrics, but there's once again a reason. It's not even reason. It's about expressing those raw shadow places that we often don't want to admit to or we want to hide because it makes us uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, the shadow work and learning how to, with compassion, look at our own underbellies or our own shadows or valleys and learning how to somehow express them in the world, even if some people want to judge you. It's okay, because it's better to look at and find an outlet or a channel for it, even if you don't share it with the world, because there's just too many blow-ups, and we also just need more and more community, which so many of us are thirsty for. I mean, because so many of us feel isolated and alone. And I said on the last podcast, there are many, many days where I isolate. And that's, you got to do what you got to do to survive. But at the same time, try to make sure that you're having at least a little bit of an outlet to express what you're going through. And this isn't obviously to find sympathy for the shooter. What that man did is, in my eyes, beyond forgivable. I'm sure somehow I could probably find a place in my soul to forgive everyone, but I don't know. I don't know. That kind of shit, I don't know. Which kind of takes me to, I'm going to skip my notes for a quick set. No, actually, I'm not. Because my next note is about Michelle Obama. Also on my Instagram, which if you're not following me, you should follow me at the Kate Wolf. I posted this t-shirt campaign I found, and it says Michelle Obama for 2020. No, she is not running. She has said she doesn't want to, but I know we can get her to change her mind. If we really all collectively want her, I think she could feel that calling of like, we need her. And I think we do need her. We need a strong Democratic candidate to run for president in 2020. I don't think Hillary is it's not strong enough. Obviously, she's a strong woman. But we need a different kind of quality, I'll say, if I'm going to go into the work of my school. We need someone who feels a bit more tender in their strength. And Michelle has so much grace that accompanies her strength. And I would just love to have the Obamas back in the White House. I think they're a power couple. I believe they're twin flames. And I just think we could use them back in there. And that's like me underselling it. Like, I would love to have Michelle run. I think she'd have a huge, big chance of winning. And can you imagine having the first black female president be her? Like, she is just, what a role model. What a beautiful soul and woman. I love her children. Obviously, big fan of her husband. I remember when he was sworn in, I was still teaching in Westfield, New Jersey, and me and my friend Tina Constance, who's been on here a bunch, she was also teaching with me, and I remember just being emotional as we watched. They like projected it in the auditorium. It was really big as we watched him get sworn in, and it was just such a beautiful moment, and I think we could use that. So that doesn't mean, I mean, we would still have two more years of Trump, which some people are into, but I think we need a change, and I think Michelle Obama could be incredible, and she's still a voice of the people. Hillary feels a bit more robotic still. That would be a lot of healing work for Hillary to not feel robotic. To me, Michelle Obama is still very much in touch with her humanity and humanity in general. She actually just surprised a bunch of high school kids in a neighborhood that normally doesn't get a lot of attention. And these kids have been doing so much hard work in their school. And she wanted to show them that she sees them and gets them. And I just think that's the kind of person she is. And I would love, love, love if somehow we could get her to change her mind. Not forcefully, although maybe you... No, just really being like, we need you, Michelle Obama. So if any of you somehow know Michelle Obama, you tell her that Kate Wolf needs her to run. You get her to listen to this, because I think... I know it's a crazy hard job. I get it. It can wear you down. But I think she could handle it. God, she just has like nuclear power in a sense. And I don't mean that in the weapony thing. Like, she's just a force to be reckoned with, but with so much love and dignity. And I think she could really do wonders in the White House. And I would be honored to have her be the first female president. That would be just so fucking cool. So we got to get her. We have still time to get her to change her mind. And obviously, yes, there are some other people, like, some people talk about Cory Booker and stuff. Michelle Obama is the one that's calling to me, I'm open to others popping in, but man, Michelle gives me a good feeling. And I think she could win it. I think obviously, no matter what, this next presidential election is going to be crazy. And by the way, we've got the other election coming up. I believe it's November 6th. Get out there and vote. Let your voice be heard. So get out there. It's still a big one coming up, but I'm talking about presidential, but always vote when you can. And the next presidential election is going to be huge. And I think if Michelle Obama's running, we could get a lot of voters out. So that's what I'm hoping for. Talk about star power, because that's what Michelle Obama has. I got called, in a sense. That's what I would call it when I'm pulled to see something. Elvis started coming in to my attention. Well, actually, so Jim at Tattoo 46 was wearing this shirt with an Elvis Presley mugshot on it. It's when he was younger. He was famous at the time. But man, what a beautiful face. Like, it really spoke to me, and I was like, whoa, that's Elvis's mugshot. He just looks gorgeous. And that made me look up Elvis on YouTube, and I found his Jailhouse Rock music video, and whoa, like, God, he was so talented, and his dancing is so free. And like, I don't know, like, last time I was talking about how a guru doesn't have to be like a in quotes guru, you know, a guru is someone that vibrates within you, that gives you hope or reminds you of a place within yourself that maybe you've buried or you want to bring out more, or someone you just adore and can relate to. And my soul relates to his. There's just a depth in him. And you can see he's an artist through and through. And I was listening to a lot of his songs, and man, what a romantic, like, he's crooning. So he's been calling to me, and Jailhouse Rock, what a cool video, because I think so many of us often feel like prisoners in our lives. We feel stuck, and we're not sure exactly how to get out of whatever situation we're in, or even if it's not a situation, like, it's like a feeling that won't exactly move. And I would say the first step is just locating and admitting to that feeling, and once again, bringing in as much compassion as you can. You're not a loser if things don't look the way you want them to quite yet. There's a reason why we're manifesting whatever we're manifesting in this particular moment. We're getting something out of it. And that brings in gratitude as well. It's like, the more you can be right here, right now, you can look around you, you can touch. Like, right now, I'm touching a blanket. It's like my favorite. It's like a fuzzy, good feeling blanket. Like, just bringing yourself back. And through touch, through sight, and just breathing. A lot of us forget to breathe, including myself. And I'll breathe with everyone as I say that. It's just coming back here through breath and your other senses. And even if this moment isn't exactly what you wanted it to be, there's still so much to gain here, or at least to try to. And if you don't feel any gratitude, that's okay. Just keep it as an intent. Those of you who are dedicated to healing work and trying to open up more and more into your truest potential, once again, I'm with you. And it usually starts from coming back into your body and being right here, right now, as best you can. A lot of us had to disconnect from our bodies, our spiritual, emotional, and physical bodies when different types of trauma happened. And the trauma could be something like when you're in school and kids start making fun of you or calling you names, or you trip in the lunchroom and drop a tray and all the kids start laughing. Like, those are real types of traumas that could actually have you disconnect from your body if it was too uncomfortable to stay in it in those moments. I'm reading a book through my school, and it's about Pure Land Buddhism, and man, is it good. It's called River of Fire, River of Water. Jason and Arlene Shulman have recommended it, and I'm getting so much out of it. So I'd recommend, whether it's that book or just looking up Pure Land Buddhism. For me, I'm not going to go too much into it. I'm not an expert at all in it, but I love that it's attainable to all. Because some people approach spirituality and enlightenment as like only a certain type of person or class of people can attain it. And what I love about it is, like, you know, the spiritual journey is right here in our bodies, in our homes. And it's not this other life that we have yet to live. It's about coming once again, coming back to this moment and somehow finding, really, it's like, okay, I don't want to get too much into it. I'm not an expert on it, but it's speaking to me and I love it. And I just wanted to bring that in. I also wanted to talk about boredom. A lot of us, whether it's boredom or feeling flat, it's almost like a soda that's gone flat. A lot of us hit these moments when you're in a place where things feel flat or boring or not as filled with life as we want. Just know that that can change. You know, address it. Feel that place. Boredom's often not just boredom. It's something else. But the more we just sit with it and open up to it, it can turn into something else. But I just wanted to say that because, once again, you are not alone. A lot of us are going through it, and things can change. And I believe that things will change as long as you just keep going. I kind of talked about this last time too, which was a lot of people are feeling it. They're feeling different shifts. They're not always feeling great. It's okay. We're going to get through this. I truly, truly believe it. And keep going for it. And when I say go for it, it's like, well, what does that look like? It just means continuing to try your best to be you in each moment. And trying your best is just meeting reality. How do I say this? This path is about truth and authenticity. However, sometimes it can be hard to be completely, completely truthful if you feel too much danger. So the important thing is, once again, trying your best to meet the moment, whether you're by yourself or if you're with someone else or other people. It's just, and it's acknowledging when you can't bring out your fullest truth too, and having compassion there. But just go for it. And the going for it is being authentic. And even if you're having trouble being your full self, it could be at work. It's not always easy to speak your truest mind at work. It's okay. Intent is huge, and trust that you will get there. It is hard to go from holding back so much, probably as children or whatever, to suddenly really standing in your truth and your power. And last week's card I pulled was Queen of Swords, which is about, you know, standing in your truth and your power, but it still takes time. Time is real. This dimension is about time. There's still a timelessness quality while we're here, but time, in a sense, is on our side. So just keep going for it. Even if, you know, you feel stuck or helpless, things can shift and change in miraculous ways. Just continue to have as much faith as you can, while also including the places that have no fucking faith, which is totally okay. Non-duality. You can have a place within you that's filled with faith and a place within you that's like, fuck this, I'm in despair. It is all good. Okay. I'm now going to go to an email. I'm not going to say their name, but I'm going to read it to you. Dear Kate, I was engaged to a very special man whom I had known for 8 years. He tragically passed away last year, and I just cannot move on. It's been so hard doing everything on my own. How do I keep faith when everything seems so bleak? I'm trying my best to stay positive, but some days are just super low for me. Thank you so much for listening, and I just have to say I love your podcast. It's given me hope. Thanks for everything. And then once again, I'm not going to say the name. Well, fuck. And believe it or not, I've gotten a decent amount of emails talking about whether it was being engaged to someone or just in a long-term relationship with someone, and then the person tragically dying and trying to get back their faith or their hope or just getting back to feeling good and like a human. And okay, so in terms of feeling bleak, once again, you're allowed to feel bleak. We just had a horrific tragedy happen with the synagogue shooting, right? When things are bleak, things are bleak. You can sit in it. You can sit in that space. I often attempt on my really low, bleak days to try to find a place for hope and light and faith as well. But sometimes it's just hard, and I let myself sit in the bleak space. But also know that there are bigger forces beyond ourselves holding us and looking out for us, even in the darkest of times. And it can be hard to feel that when we're in a really dark place. And obviously losing a loved one and a fiance like that is just horrific. But I really do believe that things can turn around and get better. But once again, time is a crucial element in all of this, and getting okay with time and learning to sit with yourself becomes a superpower, and letting the mourning process really occur. It's okay to sometimes have your distractions, but as best you can, sitting where you're at, because you look to nature. You know, things take time to grow, they take time to heal. We have seasons. So just trying to remember that time is on your side in a sense, and it can get better, it will get better. And even on days where you feel like all hope is lost, you can't find your faith, I promise you it's still there. And sometimes it might take a year to come back, months, but no, it can. But once again, the mourning process is real. And a lot of us often want to shortcut it, which makes sense. But there are no real shortcuts to natural emotional processes. And that's the thing about healing, is like, I'll be surprised at how a process or a feeling pops up from childhood. There's a personal one I won't share too much of, but I had memories from even before I was one popping up the last week or two. And it was even through a physical reaction as well. I had these memories come back of, honestly, it was of my diaper not being changed enough, which is, I did not expect a wound around that discomfort and feeling, I don't want to go too much into it, but it was crazy to have something like that, because toddlers and babies are in some ways helpless, right? They can't change themselves. They can't really move much. So you are in someone else's care. What a helpless thing. And I really, you know, out of nowhere was processing these old kind of abandonment feelings from before I was one. And I'm not saying my parents abandoned me. It's that feeling of stuck and can't do things for yourself. So, you know, once again, emotional processes cannot be shortcutted. So even back then, if I dissociated from my body to not feel that discomfort, it's crazy how at age 37, I'm now reprocessing emotions from before I was one. And that's just how it works. But what a beautiful thing that, in a sense, it's like this crazy emotional time machine that we get to heal these blocks and these disconnects from even, once again, it can be before you were 1 year old or 1 year old. So God bless healing work. And it surprised me when that came up, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I just, you know, my heart goes out to anyone who's right now dealing with loss. And once again, you cannot rush these processes. And some people have lost loved ones and family members years ago and still can't, quote unquote, get past it. And that's okay. You can't rush anything, whether it's a death, a breakup, a shooting, like, you know, just know that we're in this together. And if anyone's trying to force you to override an emotion or not feel something, just as best you can say, no, this is where I'm at. It's once again, that thing of like, go get 'em, tiger. And you get a hit on the butt and it's like, that doesn't always work. You know, sometimes you just gotta feel what you feel. And, however, the healing process isn't just about feeling the lower shadow side. It's also about re-coming into connection with that life force that we all desperately want to feel again since we were kids. It's that place that can really be in the moment, and you find a butterfly outside and you start talking to it. Or I love like when little kids find things like paper clips and it's like a new toy to them. Like, in a sense, we want to get back to that kind of wonderment and splendor of just being in the moment and being able to really feel and enjoy things. And my son has this fish, Brighty. So, and I kind of talked about this before. So my ex-husband and his wife, they got married and they bought a new house that they live in down the road. And I'm currently in the upstairs place of the other house. But the fish, my son's fish that he's had for years and years, is still downstairs with me. And I haven't been really in much contact with this fish because it was always here. But now I'm kind of, on the days I don't have Shane, I'm alone in a house with a fish and I can feel the fish. We're very connected to the animals around us, whether they're pets or just the animals around us in the neighborhood. And it's been really interesting to feel the wonderment of this fish connection. That's going to sound really weird, but I mean it. Like, because when you're a little kid, if you get this pet fish, and by the way, I'm not really into pet fish for the record. I don't like fish being put in tanks and whatever. This fish was won at a festival by my ex-husband's friend who gave it to Shane, which none of us were really happy about because we're not into fish being pets really. But Shane has had this fish for so long, and it used to be this like orange smaller goldfish, and now it's this like translucent whitish peach color. Brighty is gorgeous. But I've been going downstairs and I'm like singing to the fish. I'm like, oh gosh, if the neighbors hear, they're going to think I'm nuts. But you know what? Who fucking cares? I've been singing this fish, kind of playing with the fish. Like the fish like kind of jumped up to the surface and did like a little dolphin jump the other day. It was really cool. And I'm like, oh wow. Like, you know, those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Like coming back to your body and being like, oh my gosh, I can have this interaction with this goldfish, or even like a light bulb that's flickering in your room. Like really just coming back to life and enjoying those things as much as you can. But that also, once again, comes with actual healing work. In case you guys can't notice, my energy lately has been low. Like I'm trying to get it up for you guys. I think I'm doing an okay job, but man, I can feel it. My energy, and it's also because I think in fall, as the season changes, my body is not a huge fan of the cold. That's an understatement. And I can already feel it. I feel like a tree outside because we are connected to all the trees around us too. We're an ecosystem. We're connected to everything. And man, the cold, I'm like constantly having to have blankets around me. Like, I think that's a big part of this energy thing. Although who knows? Because sometimes in the summer, I'm like, not moving. Thank you. So I saw some movies this week and I'm a big fan of the three I saw. So I'll tell you which ones I saw. I saw Jennifer's Body, which is with Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried. It's like a comedy horror movie. I had never seen it. Very interesting and very sexy. It's definitely horror-ish, which is normally not my thing. But God damn, Megan Fox is like a babe. Like, it's about this musical band, this indie band. They like worship Satan or whatever. And they like, I don't want to give too much away, but somehow Megan Fox gets a demon within her. And she, whatever. I don't want to give away, but I was definitely like, holy shit. It was intense. Like I said, very sexy in it. And it's once again, a lot of these movies are about like reclaiming that like teenager like right to have sexuality and to care about what you care about, you know? Yeah, we often push away whatever it is we're actually feeling or caring about because we think we shouldn't. And I felt like that movie kind of showed that a bit. I also watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which I used to love when I was younger. It's with Christina Applegate, who I used to love from Married with Children. She's incredible in it. It's I would say if you haven't seen it before, watch it or rewatch it. It was really fun to watch. And I looked her up on the internet and I didn't realize that her and Brad Pitt used to date. And man, I felt some fire there. I think Brad Pitt's twin flame is Jennifer Aniston, but I saw him with Christina Applegate and I was like, I don't know, maybe I was wrong. That there's some sexiness between them. Like, damn. I'm a huge fan of Brad Pitt. Well, I still am, but I don't like his energy is totally different after being with Angelina Jolie for 10 years. But Brad Pitt's like raw essence is sexy. And man, when I saw him in a picture of him with Christina Applegate, I was like, oh wow. I'm not sure at this point, who he's twin flaming with. And honestly, still a huge fan of the twin flame stuff, obviously, but I'm going to try to back up a little bit because, you know, people still have to be able to decide for themselves. You know, I'm allowed to have my opinion, especially on my own experience and stuff. And there are some couples that I'm like, oh, come on. Like Edward and Bella, Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. Like there are some where I'm like, I'm just like, I feel it so intensely in my heart. But once again, I could be wrong. And I want everyone to know that. Like, I'm totally open, not just with Twin Flames, but so many things. I'm open to being wrong and exploring. But there are also things I'm just passionate about. And I can't lie either, you know? So it's an interesting thing, but I'm very open to being wrong about many things. I think that's part of the truest form of being an explorer of consciousness is like you have to have the ability to shift things. Like I used to be a total atheist and then I became agnostic. Like just to go from atheist to as deeply spiritual as I am, you have to be a fairly open-minded soul. And I love how so many of my listeners and friends are also just open-minded people. I think it's the way to go. And then the other movie I saw was X-Men Apocalypse. And I mean, I just fucking loved it. I love movies about like superpowers and mutants. And I think so many of us for real have these like untapped powers. And a lot of us, part of this consciousness evolution is us realizing the unlimited potential of the human form and how many powers we actually have locked within us. Whatever those powers could be, it could be being super intuitive and empathic or whatever. So I just really was digging the X-Men Apocalypse movie as well. So check any of those out if you're interested. Movies, I love. Movies make me happy. And I wanted to read another email / message from a listener of my podcast. Her name is AJ. She's amazing. Her and I are in contact a decent amount, and I think she's a special soul. So she has been writing to prison inmates for a while. I took one of her questions a bit back asking if I would ever be a pen pal to a prisoner. That was when Christina Hutchinson was on my podcast and we both answered it and went into it. I believe I said it depends. It's not something I'm looking necessarily to do at this moment, but I'm also not against it personally or for anyone else. I think, yeah. But anyway, so she said, the following was what I've learned since writing Inmates. The experience so far has been mostly positive and enjoyable. She said, I'll try to keep this as short as possible for both our sakes. And then she did a cute smiley face, because a lot of times when people write me, if it's too much, I just get crazy overwhelmed. Okay, so this is what she said. Most people use the pen pal site to try to find love. So I guess there's this prisoner pen pal site if you're interested in this. I'm sure if you put it in Google, it'll come up. But as she's saying, most of the people who use this are trying to find love on both sides. Because so many of us are alone, prison or not, feel alone. Okay. So she writes, some but not all pen pal seekers try to scam us folks on the outside for money. So guys, look out for that. Some of them just want money. That's amazing. So you have to be grounded and discerning. She says, there's even a theory of male inmates in Kentucky scamming people by claiming to be gay, according to the site's forum. So on the website, I guess they even warn people of this. All right. She says, a lot of my pen pals are quite talented with drawing, painting, poetry, and or knitting and crochet. Incredible. If they don't hear from you after a week or so, it stresses them out for different reasons, depending on the person. Well, that completely makes sense. And I can relate to that. You know, if I'm looking forward to hearing from someone, friend or love interest or whatever, when you don't hear from them, it stresses all of us out. So I could definitely understand why a prisoner who has way less freedom would get extra stressed out. So I guess if you're going to do this, really be mindful about your responses. It's also just not smart to really piss off a prisoner, I would think, if you're going to go into this. Okay. She said, it's quite common for inmates to sell and or steal pen pal addresses, which leads to receiving letters from people to whom I didn't write first. This has happened twice, but both have yet to admit it. One seems harmless so far, but the other asked for a favor that could affect me and my life negatively, which ended up in me having to tell her so, as well as asking her to not write again if that's how things are going to be. Well, good for you, AJ, for setting such healthy boundaries. That's great. One last thing. My plan in the beginning was to not write male inmates or murderers. I changed my mind in both aspects and have come in contact with some very interesting people with whom I can see becoming friends. She says, thank you for taking the time to hear all about this and for such a great podcast. Well, you are welcome, AJ, and thanks for being so fucking cool all the time. So, yeah, I just find it interesting. I think it's great that so many people are pen pals with prisoners. And for those of you who want to open that up and try it, I would say go for it. But just like AJ is, be discerning. You got, and that's, you know, even with things like Tinder, Bumble, all of it, like where so many of us are so desperate for connection and we feel lonely that we sometimes drop that discernment. And trust me, I've been there, done that, you know, I get it. But especially if you're going to do the prisoner pen pal thing, really you need to be discerning. And maybe even get like a PO box, because if people are going to share your address, you might not exactly want that. So getting a PO box, which is easy if you go to your local post office for not a lot of money, you can rent a box there. They give you a key. So those of you who are really wanting to do that, and I could see that being, I mean, there needs to be so much prison reform. It's incredible. And I think some prisons are really definitely changing. Honestly, I believe shows like Orange is the New Black that kind of brought our attention to how broken those systems are have helped. But I would love to see more prison reform and where we have programs within the prisons so people can really heal, grow, change, transform. So when they are released back into society, they know what to do. I mean, also Shawshank Redemption, an incredible movie. It kind of shows you that for the people who are released after years of being locked up, it can be really beyond depressing and hard to readjust back to normal life. So I would love to see more bridges occurring between prisoners/inmates and people who are not. So once again, thank you, AJ, for continuing to bring my attention to it. And I'm going to say this to her now. Feel free to keep me and everyone else updated on more prisoners. Like if And that's for anyone who wants to open this up. Like, I'm totally willing to read some of their stories on here. So anyone who wants to, including AJ, obviously, but anyone who is doing that, and you want me to read some of the stuff, I can do that. And once again, I said this last time, thank you so much to those of you who just fucking ride or die, love and support this podcast. It means so much to me, and it never goes, past me, meaning like how appreciative I am. It's really fucking cool that I get to share my spiritual journey and the highs and the lows I go through, and to know that there are so many beautiful, creative people out there who are also trying to navigate this reality in our lives in a way where we're being authentic, kind, but also really boundaried and badass. And yeah, I'm just honored that I got to do this, and thankful that I got linked up with Joe Santagato in the beginning, because I think, you know, we're clearly very different people, but it was cool to kind of start there, because my reach in a sense expanded, and I'm grateful to him. Even though we went in different directions, I still really respect and appreciate what he does. And it's kind of wild, like, for those of you who still sometimes go back to the older ones, to kind of see how these two people with different ways of navigating kind of come together to discuss certain things. So I would like to have him on in the future for a catch up, but I'm not sure when it's going to be. I was going to drive out there, but to be honest, like, I go into the city for shows, but driving into the city, man, stress me out. Like, I still do it. Like, I'm going in this week, obviously. And for those of you who want to catch shows in the city, check my schedule on thekatewolf.com. I have it up there. But man, like, paying that fucking toll to get into the city and dealing with city traffic, it's so annoying. I do it, but I try not to do it too much. And I'm kind of loving my new living space. It's not completely settled, but I'm really appreciative to be here where I'm living. And my commute to Shane's school has shortened so much, and I am a cranky morning person, so it makes a huge difference. Well, sometimes I'm a cranky morning person, and sometimes I wake up and I'm like turbo energy, so it can be interesting. I'm going to pull cards for y'all before I go, and obviously this is going to be probably under an hour as well. Like I said, my energy levels aren't the highest, and I will have guests on again soon, but I don't know. I'm a little bit in a hermit mode, but it's all good. For happy almost Halloween, everybody. Halloween is such an incredible holiday. The veil is thinner. Okay. The veil of illusion. We, you know, it's way easier in a sense to connect to the spirits and the other realms around you. And I love Halloween too, because people get really in touch with their inner creative sides, right? It's like we wear it on the outside, whatever we're resonating with. And, I'm going to be painting my face like a dragon. I'm giving it away. I'm going to be, I guess, the dragon sorceress for Halloween, but I'm going to paint my face as a dragon. And yeah, I'm so excited. I have a couple of my girlfriends. We're going to meet. We're going to the New York Comedy Club Halloween party, and it's going to be bumping. I just like dancing too. I need dancing. I dance a lot alone in my home. All right, let me just read to you guys your fucking cards. Okay, so first I'm going to pull from the Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck, one of my favorite decks, as I always tell you guys. Ooh, this is Rosalind Remembrance. A deep secret will come to light. I feel like I've pulled this one for you guys, but let's fucking do this. A deep secret is that you're all powerful, limitless beings having this quote-unquote limited karmic human experience. So karma, in a sense, is linked to our limitations. And somehow being okay with these limitations, and knowing with these limitations, you're also completely free. It's kind of like a mind fuck in a sense, and in many ways links to this Pure Land Buddhism concept. But you really are. The truth is we're beings of God. We are God and goddess in a sense, walking this earth plane. And also what's happening right now is the divine feminine is coming back into balance within all of us. We want to be the tender, sensitive, yet badass creative souls that we all are in our truest form. So even though there are illusions of being stuck and not, you know, in a desolate place, the truth is we're moving through something. Even Trump being president, who I'm not a fan of, it's okay if you are, I guess, but even with Trump being president, somehow he's bringing things into the light that have been deeply ingrained in our soil that people didn't exactly want to look at within ourselves. So we got to just keep trying to remember the truth, which is we are powerful. And without these wounds that we all have and share, there would be no healing. And this is about healing. You can bring the light into these dark places. It's what healing is all about. So, you know, we're doing this, we're getting there. It's not easy, but as long as we open up to each other with also discernment, we got this. I believe in all of us, and I believe that we can get through this, because we obviously have some big time environmental issues going, right? Like, hello. And all of us light workers that are for real waking up to our missions, it's all of it, no matter what, because there you can have a ton of missions, but every light worker shares the desire to help Gaia, the earth soul, because we have to take care of this planet and the animals. Without this planet, we're toast. So, you know, that's part of this light worker stuff. And I really do believe we're going to come through and that we will not destroy this planet. At least not in this, because some people have theories that there are like multiverses, and in some of them, the earth fucking explodes, and in others, it like, we make it. And I'll tell you what, we're making it. Those of you vibrating with this frequency, we're going to fucking do this. Don't lose hope. We got this. And we're going to live good, full lives filled with life force. Okay. We just got to keep creating. We got to hold each other. We've got to cry when we need to cry, laugh when we want to laugh. But there's a community of artists and light workers and just beautiful, sensitive people. And we're going to keep finding each other, and we're going to keep growing. And I'm excited to keep expanding with all of you and to get to meet more and more of you badass people trying to make a difference in this world. We're going to do it. Don't fall into the negativity. It's easy, but don't. Hold on to hope. I picked a typical tarot card. Goes right with what I was saying. The Sun card. And it's literally, you got six people kind of like interlinked, holding hands and celebrating. And you have these animals right near the sun. It's like, don't forget, like, first of all, the sun is huge in all this. We wake up every day to this beautiful sun, this source giving us life. If the sun fucking exploded, guess what? Bye-bye. We're fucked. But we're not. We have the sun. So it's like really remembering that there's this beautiful light that we are surrounded by, even on our darkest days. But we are getting through it. We're learning how to connect. We're learning how to celebrate. It's just going to take time. Because once again, there are a lot of wounds and pain that are still deep rooted in the collective soil. And we're trying our best to get through this. But it is hard to look at yourself and look at your own places that help create these things. And obviously, I have not enjoyed looking at my own inner monsters. But you know what? That's where the compassion comes in. It's okay. We're all imperfect beings. We all make mistakes, myself included. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Last card is from my Doreen Virtue Archangel Michael deck. Doreen Virtue has a bajillion ton of incredible angel decks. I would highly recommend ordering one from her website or wherever. Or if you like the typical tarot deck, get a tarot deck. The other one was Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle. I mean, so many good fucking decks out there. Sound like I said dicks. I'm sure there are a lot of those too. Beautiful. Okay. You created the situation and you have the power to change it. And I'm going to read the prayer. Thank you for letting me lean on your strength and for reminding me of my personal power. Please guide me to manifest and heal according to divine will, creating peace and blessings for everyone involved. It's kind of what I was saying before about the truth. The first card, it's like, the truth is once again, we are these powerful, all-knowing beings, even though we're limited with our knowingness while in this physical human form. But we create these situations to learn from them, to grow, to heal, to bring more light. And just remember, you're not as powerless as you feel on some days. And you want to come back to the present moment and say to yourself, why am I creating this right now? What am I getting out of this? And even if you don't know the answer, you can sit with your unknowingness, your confusion. It's all good. And I love how it said, please guide me to manifest and heal according to divine will, creating peace and blessings for everyone involved. Once again, we're all interconnected. I had an awesome, I went to an awesome comedy show. I headlined Ritu Chandra's show in Morristown, and there was a whole a synagogue there. And I had the cantor was there and the rabbi, and we sang the Shema at the end, which is a Jewish prayer about the interconnectedness of everything. And it's important because we're so interconnected. We want blessings for everyone, even the people that we think have wronged us, or we want them to get their karma. You know, the truth is we want everyone to be okay. Because when everyone's succeeding and thriving, it means we all can. Once again, we're an ecosystem. And maybe I'll end this. Well, not end it, because I have to... I'll do my plugs and then I'll end it by singing the Shema. Once again, my singing voice might not be the best because I'm terrified, but I think I'll do it for you guys. Just know that it might not be as good as it actually is because I'll be nervous, but I think I'll sing the Shema once I'm done plugging shit. So I'll do that now. Okay. So check out my album, 1111, Labia Game on YouTube. Check out my website for my schedule, thekatewolf.com. If you want a healing or tarot card reading, they're pretty dope, if I don't say so myself. It's kwolf27@gmail.com. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at thekatewolf. And now I will sing for you guys the Shema. Okay, here we go. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. So there you go. I kind of want to, before I go, let me read to you the interpretation of the Shema. I'm going to get it up right now so you guys can actually know what it was that I just sang to you, whether you're Jewish or not. It's a really, really beautiful, powerful, prayer song. So let's see if I can even find, okay, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So once again, it's about connection and just remembering we're all light beings. We're gonna do the damn thing. We got this. We will come through it. So thank you guys so much for listening. And that Shema is not just dedicated to all of you, but also to the families and friends grieving the loss of the horrific stuff that just happened in Pittsburgh. My heart, and I'm sure all of our hearts, are with these grieving, not just over that, but there are many horrific things, unfortunately, going on in the world. And because of our interconnectedness, our hearts bleed, not just for the human suffering, but for the animals and the planet. So my heart is with them and all of you. And once again, I do believe that we can make a better earth, and not in some naive way. I really think the reality is, once again, we've created the situation. We can all change it. And I think that's what we're doing. So sending love to all of you. Thank you for listening, and be back next week. Bye.